God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with each of you. Amen. This past week, we celebrated the new year, and the week before that, the birth of the Savior once again. In the world, there's little connection between those two things, Christmas and New Year. The world passes right from the materialism of Christmas, the what did you get, into the drunkenness and the superstition of New Year, and they do so without a thought. Yet for the child of God, the closeness of those two celebrations is a great opportunity to be reminded of God's grace and love toward us. He always works with perfect timing for our benefit. The word of God we consider is found written in the fourth chapter of Paul's letter to the Galatians, verses 4-7. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Paul begins our text by saying, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. That's an interesting statement when you think about all the many years that had gone by since he first made that promise. Some 4,000 years. It took four millennia for the time to be complete. How are we to think about this? How do we understand that? Was God sitting up in heaven looking down on earth and waiting, just waiting for the perfect time for Jesus to be born? No. In fact, it was God who, before the time had come, had determined the time to send his Son and was working all along in time to make things perfect for the arrival on earth of his Son. What was so special about the timing? Well, there are many things that point to that time being the perfect time. A unified language, the Greek language, accomplished by Alexander the Great. Excellent roads for swift travel so that the good news could be spread abroad quickly in the Western world, and that was accomplished by the Romans, of course. Even that census issued by Caesar Augustus proved to be essential to the timing of the birth of the Savior. Everything was so perfect, so well-timed, that you can't help but think that it was all made to be so. And it was. In fact, God had prophesied many of these things centuries and centuries before they ever happened. The Old Testament says the Savior would come from Bethlehem and from Edom and from Nazareth. All three are true. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, he grew up in Nazareth, but before then he spent a little time with his parents in exile in Egypt. In Daniel, the Lord sent the prophet a dream. Actually, he sent it to the king, picturing not only those Greek and Roman civilizations that would provide unified language and roads, but also the Babylonian and Assyrian empires. Through the mouth of Micah, God promised Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. And when Mary was close to delivery, Caesar issues a decree that everyone should return to the town of their ancestors for registering in the census. This is not coincidence. It is the eternal God effecting things in time with a perfection that causes us to marvel. Yet I want you to notice that God wasn't working in time just to see what he could stir up in the world. He wasn't acting like a destructive child standing over an anthill with a stick. He was doing all these things for our eternal good. Paul says in our text, when the fullness of time, or the perfect time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, and why? To redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. You see, God had a gracious plan in mind through all of this. His plan was to bring about our redemption and our salvation by laying all of our guilt on His Son, on His innocent Son, and cursing His Son in our place. Jesus wasn't accidentally born, nor was He accidentally put to death. This was God's perfect plan being brought about with perfect timing. This wasn't a one-time occurrence. God frequently continues to work with perfect timing in this world for our benefit. Paul says, "And because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.'" And this is no less than the first part of our text, the timing of the birth of His Son. God also works, he says, in our individual lives to bring us to that redemption so that we cry out, "Abba, Father." Just as it was no accident that Caesar called for a census, it was no accident that God called you through your baptism into this family, into the adoption of sons. It was no accident that Christ hung upon the cross, but it's also not an accident that you have the Holy Spirit ruling in your heart. These things, too, in each of our lives, are God working with His perfect timing, with His Word, and through His Spirit to bring you into a relationship with Him and to keep you there. It's not mere chance that your sins have been washed away and that your name is written in the book of life. That's God at work in your life, just as He's always done down through the ages. Now, let's turn our attention to the practicality of this. What does it mean? What does it mean for us? First and foremost, it means that you should draw great comfort in knowing that your salvation isn't teetering on the brink, as it were. It rests in the hands of your Heavenly Father, who loved you so much that He gave His only Son for you. And secondly, that this is no small thing either. It means that your Heavenly Father will continue to work things out in your life with His typical perfect timing for your eternal good. Did you have a momentous, life-changing new year? Me neither. When the clock struck midnight on New Year's Eve, the next day brought with it the same problems and concerns that we've had all our lives. And yet every time we cross that threshold, we can't help but wonder a little. What's going to happen this year in the world and in my life? None of us can answer. Will there be tragedy? Will there be pressures? Will there be troubles? Yep, to one degree or another. That's the way our lives go. We pass from one trouble to another, and in between we have small islands of peace and calmness. But there's always another trouble coming, and that will never change until we pass from this life or until our Lord returns and come, Lord Jesus. So what do we do with this knowledge? Should we tremble and quake in fear? Of course not. Instead, we draw comfort from the fact that our God always comes in the fullness of time to rescue us from those things that threaten our souls and our eternal salvation. And so we cry out, because we've been given that Spirit, we cry out, "Abba, Father," to the One who has been working up until now for our good. We're not like slaves who live in fear and dread what their terrible master may do next to them. No, we are children of God, made so by the blood of His Son. And as Paul concludes, if sons and daughters, then heirs, heirs of God through Christ, inheritors of all that He gives. It means we all have the benefit of being children of God. It means we have a Father that provides for all our bodily means, but it also means we have a Father who will raise up our bodies from the dead and receive us in heaven to Himself. What great confidence our Father is giving us in calling us heirs through Christ. It means we should be and can be confident as we live our lives as his dear children on earth. There's nothing that can separate us from that love of God or take us away from our inheritance. And that frees you up from worry when it comes to the decisions we have to make in this life. We don't have to worry what will happen if we follow this command of God and do his will. He'll provide for us with his perfect timing, as he always does. Today, as we sing about and hear the words about the Magi from the East, we are entering into the season of Epiphany. It's short this year because Easter is quite early. The word Epiphany means revealing. We hear during this season how the knowledge of a Savior was revealed to those Magi. And Epiphany is often called Gentile Christmas because it's when the good news of the newborn king first reached non-Jews. One thing that's been revealed to us this morning on Epiphany is how perfect God's planning and timing is. As you enter this season and this new calendar year, take the encouragement of the Lord in Psalm 46 to heart. His encouragement is this: be still and know that I am God. Because our God is also our Father through Jesus Christ. And just as he always has, he will continue to come to us in power and in grace with his perfect timing. In Jesus' name, amen. That same peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you.